This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
You know the issue of how many pharaohs were there?
Oh, yeah.
That's one that people always think about. Because we mentioned the different opinions in the class.
Yeah.
And we talk about, you know, was it just one person?
Yeah.
Was it two brothers? Was it a father? So a lot of people are familiar with the narrative, either they watched a movie or read a book or something. So they a lot of people come in familiar with the father and son type of narrative. But even that one, even if we were to take that opinion, there's some caveats. There's some things to keep in mind with that. That section is really cool because we kind of talk about some of the historical elements too.
Yeah.
Of the ancient Egyptian civilization. A lot of people hear this name, Ramses II.
Yeah.
You know, so we look at, is there anything documented that we know about Ramses II?
Yeah.
And how did he die? And who was his son? How did his son die?
Yeah.
What were some of the political implications after the death of his son? And we kind of piece the puzzle together. But what I like to emphasize to the students is there's a reason why Allah didn't refer to Fir'aun by his name.
Okay.
Fir'aun is not a proper name.
Right.
It's a title.
It's a title.
It's a title. It's like president, prime minister, or czar, or whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
There's a reason for that. Is because Allah wants us to focus on that personality.
The personality, the position, the system.
The position, the system, what they represented.
Yeah.
How they enforced their rules or their laws, how they dealt with people, how they divided people. That's what really is the important takeaway. And actually, who exactly was the Fir'aun?
Yeah.
Which again is a miracle of the way the story is told in the Quran.
Yeah.
Has absolutely no major bearing or impact on the morals and the lessons from the story.
Now, is there a value to trying to learn who the Pharaoh was?
Yeah, I think there is a value to that. I think there is some good academic value and it's important. But I think that we should be appropriate and we should be proportional.
Yeah.
We're not going to spend and invest a lot of time going back and forth on things where we're talking about an era in history where there's some cloudy areas. There's some gray area. Not everything is documented explicitly.
Right.
So there is going to be some doubt. There is going to be some back and forth between the different opinions and the scholars. There is going to be some historical debate, and that's okay.
And I think the reason for that is because when it comes to history and you're trying to draw conclusions on history, you're doing these conclusions based on incomplete information.
Yeah, you're trying to piece together a puzzle.
Yeah.
And you sometimes don't have all the pieces.
Yeah.
You know, so you make the best of what you have, you know, and you make inferences and you make, you know, educated conclusions. And so scholars did that. And so they did arrive at different conclusions based on the proofs that they relied on.
And what's the conclusion that you felt based on, you know, your teachers and what you also read up on is probably the strongest, most likely scenario?
Allah knows best, but I find it very interesting, especially when we look into the aspects of history itself, like the history of the Egyptian civilization and the kinds of things that we do have passed on to us and recorded. I do find it very comfortable to conclude that it was a father and a son.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what brings you to that conclusion?
So a lot of things that are mentioned about the reign of Ramses II.
Yeah.
How long he ruled, how long his son ruled.
Okay.
And kind of comparing that with the lifespan of Musa and his time outside of Egypt, you know, before pre-prophethood, and then returning back. And also asking certain questions like, why would he be on his way back to Egypt?
Okay.
Even before the revelation itself.
And then, because we
some
know
things that are mentioned about the political situation after the death of Ramses II's son.
Okay.
How the son died, how the father died. Kind of piecing those, bits of information together and coming up with an educated conclusion.
Because we know that, the reality is Musa, he left Egypt because he became a fugitive, right?
He left Egypt because, you know, he received inside information that the people are gathering, they're going to come and kill you.
Yeah.
And he was not in a situation where he would be allowed any fairness or justice.
Yeah.
And so he had to flee to save his life.
So it wouldn't make any sense. So if somebody is like, hey, you know, there's a bounty out on somebody, right? Yeah. They're not going to go back to where they ran away from.
Yeah.
So what would be the appropriate scenario for why somebody would go back?
Well, some inferences that some of the historians and some of the scholars made is that perhaps, you know, perhaps news had reached him that there was a sort of
change,
a change in the ruler.
Okay.
And then also after the passage of many years, you would expect that, you know, tensions settle and emotions kind of settle down a little bit. And let's not forget, he left family behind.
True.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's logical
that he would want to come back.
Assume, or it's logical to conclude that if he were to have received such information like this, he might have felt that, okay, maybe now there's some amount of safety or some amount of security enough to go back and see his family. Allahu a'lam, Allah knows best. Again, these are historical inferences that we can make, you know, educated guesses, if
okay.
you will.
And I know you mentioned that one of the things that historians have looked at is how Ramses died and how some other pharaohs might have died.
Yep.
That might lead to, and like, could you shed some more light on that?
Yeah, so they mentioned that what is recorded is that Ramses II did not die by way of drowning, but what's interesting is his son did.
Okay.
And that's something that's mentioned about his son. So these are some things that give us more confidence in the opinion that we're talking about a father and a son.
Cool. So,
and Allah knows best.
So this is cool. So basically this is, I would think, it's things like this that are very interesting, because yes, you're going foundationally through the Quran, but at the same time there's a lot of light being shed
yeah.
on the reality of, okay, how do we now attach that to something that, you know, questions that people ask.
Yeah.
Right? Cool.